This morning we turn to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel 15. Before we read the Word of God this morning, there's something that you should know. And it's not anything alarming, it's not an announcement of any sort, it's that there's a setting of events that come before what we read today in the Scripture. At this point, David has 8 wives, he has many concubines, and therefore he had many children. God told David after his sin with Bathsheba that there would be strife, there would be conflict in his household. Some of that pertains to his son Solomon, who was born of Maacah, and that in relation to David's other son Amnon, born from Ahinoam. Amnon raped Absalom's sister Tamar. That's a very shocking and sad and solemn chapter. In time, Absalom then avenged Amnon's evil deed by killing him. Then Absalom fled up north to the regions outside of the Sea of Galilee in a place called Geshur, and he stayed there for 3 years. David's army general, his name was Joab, seeing that David both approved Amnon's death and wanted Absalom to be back in Jerusalem, not exile, coordinated Absalom's return, who then stayed in Jerusalem for 2 years, though it was in some sort of custody. Well, Absalom, now back in Jerusalem, grew tired of this. So he called on Joab twice. Joab ignored him both times. And so what did Absalom do? But he set Joab's barley field on fire and he burned it. And so then Joab came personally to meet Absalom. Absalom said, in essence, why did you bother to take me from Geshur? You could have just left me there if I'm going to be in confinement. I want to see the king. Remember, the king was David, his father. And he added further that if I'm guilty, then prove it. I'm not afraid to die. I will accept that. But otherwise, let me go. And so Joab then brought him to David, who then received Absalom with an embrace. Thus we come to 2 Samuel chapter 15 as it reads here. And hear God's word. Now it came about after this, that Absalom provided for himself a chariot and horses, and 50 men as runners before him. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. And it happened that when any man had a suit to come to the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, "From what city are you?" And he would say, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "See, your claims are good and right, but no man listens to you on the part of the king." Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that one would appoint me judge in the land, then every man who has any suit or cause could come to me, and I would give him justice." And it happened that when a man came near to prostrate himself before him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. And in this manner, Absalom dealt with all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. Now it came about at the end of 40 years, it seems other manuscripts say 4 years, that Absalom said to the king, "Please let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed to the Lord in Hebron. For your servant vowed a vow while I was living at Geshur in Syria, saying, 'If the Lord shall indeed bring me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord.'" And the king said to him, "Go in peace." So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, 'Absalom is king in Hebron.'" And then 200 men went with Absalom from Jerusalem who were invited and went innocently, and they did not know anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city of Gilo, while he was offering the sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Then a messenger came to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for otherwise none of us shall escape from Absalom. Go in haste, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down calamity on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." Then the king's servants said to the king, "Behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king chooses." So the king went out and all his household with him, but the king left 10 concubines to keep the house. And the king went out and all the people with him, and they stopped at the last house. Now all his servants passed on beside him, all the Cherethites, all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had come with him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why will you also go with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile. Return to your own place. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander with us while I go where I will? Return and take back your brothers. Mercy and truth be with you." But Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, surely wherever my lord the king may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be." Therefore David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." So Ittai the Gittite passed over with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. While all the country was weeping with a loud voice, all the people passed over. The king also passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And thus far the reading of God's word to us this morning. One would think that Absalom would be a thankful son for the mercy he received, not a conspiring son like he came to be afterward. He and those who came with him to the gate are like many an American today who know the language of the patriotic hymn, "That God shed his grace on thee," but are bandied about by such Absalom opportunists who prey on the people and their grievances. Those who feign solutions to problems to flatter the people, to distort reality, to create a false narrative so as to swing people with false promises and to steal their hearts further from the allegiance to the true King of kings, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Such is not only the plight of America. This was the conspiracy of Absalom. There's nothing new under the sun. And so David, at this low point, probably the lowest point of his kingship politically, like most today with conniving politicians, merely took Absalom at his word. He allowed him to leave Jerusalem to fulfill his vow, a vow that his heart had not made. And what did he then do? But he dispersed his spies throughout the land to undermine the constituted government as duly set in the eyes of God, such that in the end the people were in a panic. And even David fled Jerusalem for their sake. But we see here with David that, like the Savior he foreshadowed, David is leaving because he wants to secure the people's deliverance. He would rather be the one hunted than to have the city vulnerable and taken. So it's in this wonderful setting, but quite the opposite of this man Absalom, treacherous as he is, that we get to meet this morning, our next of God's lesser knowns in our preaching series, the ever faithful Ittai the Gittite. Had you known about Ittai the Gittite? Probably never heard of him. He's mentioned here in 2 Samuel 15. He's mentioned later and a few chapters later in 2 Samuel. I mentioned to the children last week that perhaps one or two of you children might wish that you had a different name than what your parents gave to you. Maybe you have some ideas for yourself. But how many of you children are glad that you don't have to introduce yourself as Ittai the Gittite this morning? Would your life be better with the name Ittai? I've never met anybody whose son as a Christian family is named Ittai. Maybe if Ittai is preached more, we'll greet some of the Ittais to come and generations hence. But Ittai here and his allegiance to David as he's spoken it, it reminds us of the effect that the gospel should have upon us. You notice Ittai's open and confessed allegiance to David at verse 21. But Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely wherever my lord the king may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be." We want to see two features of Ittai's allegiance to David. They remind us of the effect the gospel should have upon us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have need this morning, given the table before us, to recall these things to mind as we remember our Savior. The first point we want to see is the zeal and the commitment in Ittai's words. Secondly, we want to see the grace and the acceptance that was beneath those words that Ittai spoke. So, the zeal and commitment of Ittai and the grace and acceptance that was beneath Ittai's words. Let's look at that first point, the zeal and the commitment that is seen in Ittai's words. You recognize the scene at hand with David and his servants. His administration now is leaving their headquarters. They're leaving Jerusalem. Their thought is that Absalom, in his rage, is going to follow through and maybe take Jerusalem captive. It seems to David that the report is that all of Israel, to a man, is with Absalom. And so he's here with the sense of revolt, that the kingdom could be stripped from his hands. We know the scramble, we know the fear, we know the alarm whenever a U.S. embassy is closed because of a solemn threat. There's a panic and there's a run on certain things. It's like, I guess, an evacuation along the East Coast for a hurricane. The line of traffic starts and people leave for safety. Here they are, just about to depart the city, and they come to the last house, as it says at verse 17. David pauses. All his 600 men, imagine 600 men in front of David. They all pass in front of him. And as they do, David notices this man, Ittai. And he engages him. And he speaks to him as if trying to persuade Ittai that he shouldn't come. He shouldn't join with David. Ittai is too new. Ittai is a foreigner because of exile. Ittai, you should go back. David can't possibly lay this burden on Ittai. No, he himself will take it. But it's at this point that we hear Ittai's words. We see his zeal and his commitment for David. As the Lord lives, as my lord the king lives, surely wherever my lord the king may be, whether for death or for life, your servant also will be. That zeal, that's commitment. Ittai the Gittite, his zeal is seen in some of the noble comments that he makes. You notice here that one of these is the persons of his zeal. He starts off and says, as the Lord lives, using the very name of God by which he revealed himself as the Redeemer of his people. Ittai is a man who fears the God of Israel, who recognizes redemption from this God of Israel. As the Lord lives, as the covenant God of Israel, before whom I acknowledge myself, the God who is the Redeemer, and as my Lord the King, lowercase l, lives, that is David, his chosen deliverer. On the merits and the glory of these two persons, God and David himself, I'm going to stick with David. I'll follow you and be your servant. These are two persons that have claimed Ittai's heart. He's loyal. They are the object of Ittai's affections. He loves these. He's zealous for them. And because of God, he's zealous for David. Because David is who he is, therefore Ittai sees himself as he does. But it's not only David and God in terms of their persons. He also considers this other point about David's presence. Verse 21, as the Lord lives, and as my Lord the King lives, surely wherever my Lord the King may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be. Have we not heard these words before, somewhere in Scripture? Can we not look back to the time of Ruth? And we see there that Ruth's saying, faced with the death of her husband and her father-in-law and her brother-in-law and her sister being faced then with, do I stay or do I go? And Naomi saying to her, you should go back and begin your life afresh. What does Ruth say? But do not urge me to leave or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. For where you die, I will die. We see this very kind of zeal and commitment for the Lord of hosts and the people of God with Ruth. And Ittai shows the same. We would hear this kind of thing again. It's almost as though it's a preview of what Jesus would do for his disciples in John chapter 6, where many of his disciples withdrew and they were not following him anymore because of some of the hard claims that he made preaching the gospel. And then Jesus, seeing all these many disciples withdraw, turns to his disciples and says, do you not also want to go away as well? And Peter, the spokesman oftentimes for the disciples, says, in essence, Lord, we would never do such a thing. Where else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And so Ittai, like a pre-Peter, says, wherever you go, I will go. I cannot see myself being with anyone else than you, my Lord the King David. This is with Peter again. Later he would say, even though all may fall away, I will never fall away. And Peter told him the truth, that by morning time, the rooster crows three times, you will have denied him three times, and yet all the disciples said the same thing too. This is the language, this is the profession of faith of those who believe on the God of Israel. And Ittai is a believing man. This is like the disciples in glory at Revelation 14:4. Those who sing the new song in heaven, we are told that they are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That was the dominating conviction when they were here on earth. It is the everlasting conviction in the lands of everlasting life, as if a wide spectrum of a rainbow covering all the green hills of heaven. If you have ears to hear, Ittai was united to David. Ittai walked in union with David. As the Lord lives and as my Lord the King lives, surely wherever my Lord the King may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be. And by this, David being, could we say, the Old Testament Messiah, the precursor to Jesus Christ, Ittai therefore sets forth with exceptional clarity what it is like these others to walk in union with Jesus Christ. Wherever he goes, I will go. Whether it's to death, I will go. Whether it's for life, I will go. Friend, the question is, then, do you walk with Jesus Christ? Is that your zeal? Is that your commitment? Is it the throbbing of the heart with put a fork in the road and you can either turn this way or even turn around and go back, that you follow the Lamb wherever he goes? You may be here faced with a crossroad, and you're sort of here at the last house, and Christ meets you and says, don't you want to go back? And you say, where else shall I go? Wherever my Lord the King goes, I will follow. Will you follow Jesus today? Or will you turn back? Or will you turn aside? Will you leave your sin today to follow a Savior? Will you trust that Savior, even though you don't know where this road leads? Where this, wherever my Lord the King goes, there your servant will be with you. You know, the Lord's roads sometimes lead to troubles, but all the Lord's roads wind course and turn to triumphs. The road of pain and sorrow goes to glory. Ittai senses some of this. And he says that even if I give my life and service to the Master, this is the way I ought to go and take. Some of you are knowing that. You're seeing that right now. You felt the cool air. And I don't mean refreshing, but sometimes cool and haunting and chilling air of the valley of the shadow of death. But there you've been reminded that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You're reminded that the way is always through, as Paul preached, that it is through many tribulations that we inherit the kingdom of God. As Isaiah preached, though you walk through the waters, I will be with you. Through the fire, it will not scorch you. We see here very much in looking at Ittai the Gittite, this is a man who's zealous for the Lord. And this is what pertains to every man, every woman, every child. Don't forget that Ittai even has these little ones in his company. And so even you as a youngster, you can hear, see, this is the way to go. It's to follow Jesus even when it seems the times are fearful, panicked, troubling. My Savior will only lead me to green pastures, and there he'll make me to lie down. If you could hear his words again, Ittai's words, you put on your New Testament ears and you hear him saying, surely wherever my Lord Jesus the King may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be. I mean, Ittai could equally have quoted Paul's letter to the Romans if he had had it. Not one of us lives for himself. Not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. There's no loss with Jesus. We follow him. This is utterly profound. Whether it's Paul to the Romans, whether it's Ruth to Naomi, Whether it's Peter to Jesus or Ittai to David, we are reminded of the effect the gospel should have upon us. What kind of gospel have we received? Is it the kind of gospel that tells us you've overcome sin and death by believing on Jesus Christ and all is well for you? Take up your trials and go courageously. Or have we received some other gospel that we cower in fear before where the Lord Jesus leads us? Has he paid for our sins and covered all of them and brought us into the favor of God that he would leave us to our troubles to perish? Perish the thought. No, we walk in union with Jesus Christ and we have a zeal and a commitment of Ittai proportions. And as you may have difficulty, friend, grasping that you died with Jesus in his crucifixion, you were buried with him in his burial, and you were raised with him 3 days later, and you now are seated with Jesus in the heavenly places, just as you may have difficulty with that, but know that there is no fault or error in holding that by faith, neither is it difficult, but that you must see it by faith, that Ittai likewise had the same union with Jesus Christ by faith when he looked at David that very day and said what he did. Surely my Lord Jesus, the King, whether for death or for life, there your servant will be also. As surely as Jesus looked through Peter and spoke of Satan, so Ittai looked through David and spoke of Jesus. That's the wonderful zeal and commitment of this man. Though lesser known to us, he is well known to God, well known to David, and he should be well known to us. Would that we all had Ittai-like zeal and commitment to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So let us ask ourselves, do I see Jesus and my relation to him in what Ittai said to David? Do I have the same zeal, the same commitment? If I don't, why is that? Do I want to go wherever Jesus leads me? Or do I say I'll go anywhere as long as it's a one-way street? I'll go anywhere as long as it's not a turn that makes me look going that direction. It's wherever the Lord will lead. Will I say, as Ittai, surely wherever the Lord, my King, leads, there I will go? Is there a surely in your statement? Well, this is Ittai's allegiance to David, his zeal and his commitment. Let's look secondly at what's underneath this. It's the grace and the acceptance of David beneath these words that Ittai said. The first point is Ittai's words to David. This point deals with David's regard for Ittai, his own grace and acceptance. Notice at verse 19, David's telling him to return, remain with the king back at Jerusalem. You're a foreigner, an exile. Return to your place. You came only yesterday. Shall I today make you wander with us while I go where I will? Return and take back your brothers. Mercy and truth be with you. Don't miss that David spoke that, and then Ittai said what he did at verse 21. It's David's words. It's David's regard. It's David's looking at Ittai the way he did that laid the groundwork for Ittai's response to David. This is the way it works with the gospel. We love him, Christ, because he first loved us. Ittai is following David because of David's way toward Ittai. David's grace to Ittai and his acceptance of him is seen on many levels. First off, you notice here that Ittai was a foreigner. Ittai was in exile, David says. This man is from Gath. This is enemy territory. Ittai is from the place, if you were to cut Israel in half, you've got Judah at the bottom on one side, and you have Philistia on the other. Gath is right there at the boundary between those two places. Gath is mentioned with other Philistine places that were conquered and brought out to the allotment of the tribes in Joshua 13. And that's why the expression is, tell it not in Gath. Don't spread bad news to our enemies. We don't want to look ashamed before our enemies. Gath, where Ittai is from as a Gittite, is enemy territory. It's unclear how Ittai came. Some people have conjectured, they think that he was maybe punished by a Gittite lord, and here he's in exile. Some claim that he's probably a proselyte to David with these 600 men that are out in front of David's trail. It seems at least that David's slaying of Goliath would have made an impression on Ittai. He would have heard the news. Here's this 9-foot giant that David slew. So who's the man to follow? Well, it's pretty obvious. It's David, and obviously no longer Goliath. And so maybe Ittai came, and David had more and more of an impression on him. Maybe it was that while the Ark of the Covenant was there with Obed-Edom in Gath, and you remember that the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's household for many months. Maybe Ittai's put two and two together, and he's concluded, I need to be with David. I need to be with the God of Israel. I need to be in the right with God. And that means to follow David. Either way, he's a foreigner. He's an exile. Maybe he doesn't belong. But the fact of the matter is that because of David's grace and acceptance, he's right where he needs to be. He's with David. Doesn't he remind us of what we hear in the New Testament? A stranger and exile on earth. Those are what the people of God are. Peter refers to the believers of Asia Minor. I urge you as aliens and strangers. This is who Ittai is. He's a sojourner. In this way, Ittai provides us with a great and a clear foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. It reminds us that we're transient. We're here for a time. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are sojourners. We are exiles. We are not tourists. We are strangers to this world. We're exiles. We've come out of the world, and now we reside with the people of the Exodus, the people that have come out. We're not friends with the world. We're not vacationers in the world. We are pilgrims. We stay for a time, and then we go to where our journey's end is. Ittai was a foreigner. He was an exile, but he was at home with David. We see David's grace there. We see David's grace and acceptance in the fact that David often used non-Israelites in his administration, in his ways and dealings. There was Uriah the Hittite. There is Ittai the Gittite. Easy way to remember it. David is a man who's not only committed to his own people, but you even find people from outside along with David. And David's army. In 1 Chronicles 11, there's Shemeth the Hararite, there's Helez the Pelonite, there's Ithmah the Moabite. Further, he had business, you remember, with Hiram of Tyre. There's Achish, the king of Gath, that warmed up to David when David was fleeing from Saul. David had grace and acceptance of people beyond his own. Could we say that David was evangelistic? Could we say that David was a man open to bring many people to see the blessing of God upon his covenant people, the gospel? And Ittai has partaken of this. That's why verse 18, you read of all these servants that are passing on, there are the Cherethites, there are the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men. David has these men in his own place as they came to find shelter, you remember, with Ruth, the Moabitess, in the God of Israel. So we see David's grace and acceptance here. The truth is, Jesus, by grace, welcomed us into the church when we were foreigners. We were separated from the covenants of Christ, strangers to them, separate from Christ. We weren't citizens of God's people. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And Christ called us by the gospel and said, here's God's favor. Here's God's acceptance. You believe on me. Grant me your heart, and you will be in my company. Grace is God's door that opens up to all this acceptance that we have with God as our Father. But lastly, you notice what David says to him. Can you not hear it in David's speech to Ittai, right there at the crossroads at the last house? Mercy and truth be with you. Ittai, I say that you should stay and not come. Maybe he was luring him to come by grace. But either way, mercy and truth be with you. Well, that seemed to be words that for Ittai, coming from David, a man of grace and acceptance for the people of God, he could do no other but go with David. Ittai, why are you here? You alone have the words of eternal life. You just said mercy and truth. These are the things that brought me out of Gath. These are the things that brought you out of the world, that you came to Christ. It was mercy that God forgave your sins. It was truth that you had a knowledge of Jesus Christ, all of your sins, his promises to you, and life as it ought to be. And so Ittai, like you, you understand this. He goes with David. He could do no other. Have you heard Jesus speak mercy and truth to you? Is that why you're here as a Christian? Mercy has a hold on your heart. The truth of God does. Is that not what you heard as a sinner? There's no other way to keep going than by that way you came. And that is that God's mercy is new every morning. His mercies endure forever. Is this not what you hear when you open your Bible? Is this not what you hear in every sermon of Christ and his mercy? Is it not what the letters of the New Testament greet you with? Grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this what you talk about in your conversations? Is this what comes forth when you study the Bible together? Mercy and truth. Maybe you need more of these things. Indeed, you and I do. We need a David. We need Jesus to remind us, mercy and truth be with you. And it's that, like Gittai, that'll make us to say, as my Lord lives, and as my Lord the King lives, surely wherever the King goes, whether it's to death or to life, I will be there as your servant. I will do whatever you call me to do. I will follow the Lamb wherever he leads. So here is Ittai the Gittite, reminding us of the effect of the gospel and what it's to have upon us. His zeal and commitment rooted in David's own grace and acceptance. We see our Lord Jesus Christ in all these things. So then let Ittai the Gittite be no lesser known to you. Know Ittai very well. You've met a man that you'll meet again, because, like you, he's well known to God. And that's what it is to know and walk with Jesus Christ. Not that we know God, but that God knows us. Let us pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we're grateful that this chapter that we probably have passed over often in reading the Bible has such light and significance to us to see Jesus, our Savior, to see His mercy and truth, the grace and acceptance that He's lavished on us by going to the cross and there purchase for us our redemption and our acceptance with You. Lord, as we see Ittai and David, make us to see ourselves in Jesus, that we would see in You, Lord Jesus, all Your love, Your care for us, Your interest in us, Your conviction that we ought to be those who stay with You. And we pray that You'd give us ready hearts and voices to say all that Ittai did in response to You. Work in our hearts that we may. Lord, if this is slow in coming forth, make us to be ready to voice it publicly before others all the time. And Lord, when we struggle with do we stay or go with Jesus, Lord, that we would not turn back. Keep us in Your will. Keep us serving You. And Lord, help us as we do when times are difficult, that we would know whether we live or die, we are the Lord's by grace. So bless this word to us and seal it to our hearts here and in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.